Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another play building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministry Straight Talk. Hope you had a beautiful Friday. We're getting ready to wind down the week, but we always want to come to you with the Word of God. I just wanted to put a little prop out there that for those of you who may need prayer, you can send us an email and we will... You know, we can do prayer with you or for your family members. Our email address is kingdomofgodministries77@gmail.com. Again, it is kingdomofgodministries77@gmail.com. Send us your name and your phone number, and we will call you, and we will pray and minister with you. Just wanted to put it out there that we are celebrating our 12th year on Blog Talk Radio. There's a lot of archived teachings that Bishop and I have did throughout the years. You can always download. You don't have to download them. Just go to our website, Kingdom of God Ministries Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen to hundreds of broadcasts. So sometimes when you're running in the park and you got your headphones on, let that word permeate your being. Let it get in your mind, or you're working out or something like that, doing housework. This ministry, you can listen to it 24/7, okay? All right, so Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. Lord, we just bless you. We just worship you, Holy Father. Lord, because you are so good to us. Lord God, David said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Lord God, you are forever reigning on high. And Lord God, we don't want to take this lightly. We don't want to get puffed up in pride and look at ourselves like we have presented the blessings upon ourselves. But we want to always look to you, Heavenly Father. Whatever you give us, Lord God, we want to give thanks unto you. So Lord God, to our listening audience, those that are have difficulties being oppressed, depressed, Lord God, we ask that this word go forth and permeate their very being. We break strongholds in their lives. We come against demonic attacks in their mind. Lord God, we cancel every demonic assignment in their lives. And Lord God, we're going to forever give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, hey, we thankful. Tonight, we're going to be talking about spiritual seduction. Wow. And it's deeper than what you think. And a lot of times people look at seduction as only a sexual type of sin, but it's linked with that, but it goes deeper than that. Amen. We, as me and Bishop, been in the way for in Christ for the last 40 years, 40 plus years, I'm going to say 44, 45, we've seen a lot of stuff going on in the church. I would say that it started maybe the last 40 years, I would say 30 to 40 years, where we've seen a lot of seduction. You know, people is not worshiping God for God. They are worshiping God for things, meaning that a lot of times, and we'll get to that, that they're following God, or Jesus say, you follow me after the loaves. Mm-hmm. So really, you just looking for God, like, what can I get from him? What can he do for me? Amen? So we're going to start off with our scripture, and you saw it. And for those of you who, you know, maybe, how do I get in? How do I listen? Just click on that link. If you're on Facebook, all you got to do is look down. You see that picture of that big old angel with the sword. Just say, this is my angel. Click on that. That'll take you right into our studio. Okay? Amen. So we're going to start off with the scripture that we will be basing our subject on tonight. And it's coming out of Revelation 18 and 20. If you have your Bibles, if you look up on your phone, you can do so. Because I want you to follow along with me. And that's the problem in the church now. The way is so much seduction in the church because the church don't know the word. You take men's, how they twist the scriptures, but because you don't know the scripture, you fall for a lie. The Bereans in the Bible, they searched out the scripture. Although Paul had been converted, they didn't just take him into the fold like that. They checked that brother out because he was going around persecuting the Christians. Saints, you better get some discernment. Time out for this planned church. Time out for you just running around getting your next fix. I call it like a fix. So you run from church to church. Who going to give me a word? Who going to bless me? Honey, it's coming a time where you're going to have to rely and have total faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, let me go on. So we're coming out of Revelations 2, 18 through 20. It says, and unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write. Now this is a warning from God. He said, these things says the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works. This is what he's saying to the church. And charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Okay, he commend them for that. Notwithstanding, I have, when God said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce, look at that word good, seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. As believers, we must not believe every spirit. Can I reemphasize that? We should not believe every spirit. I don't care how he or she come dressed, suited up, looking holy. You better check them out. Test the spirit. This is from God, to see whether they are from God. For many, many, he said that twice, many, many false prophets have gone out. So God is kind of like a proclamation. He said, look, you know, you're doing good in the church, you're doing this and that, but you were deceived because you allowed Jezebel, and a lot of people say, well, they equate that with a woman. And everybody, you know, they want to talk about Jezebel, and you're dressing like a Jezebel, you look like a Jezebel. But you know what? Men can be Jezebels too. Mm-hmm. He said the spirit, that's what he was saying. He said the spirit, what is the spirit of Jezebel? It loves dominance and control. She manipulated and controlled her husband. And I'm going to get into some of the characteristics of a Jezebel spirit. Women can be Jezebelian in their marriages. Husbands can be Jezebelian spirits in their marriage and relationship. They want to usurp authority and control. And that's why God has something against them. Most false prophets, check this out, they come to you to puff themselves up, make themselves look like they're all that, so you will worship them. This is the spirit of Jezebel, saints. There's nothing humble about them. They're puffed up with pride. They flaunt themselves around like a peacock. Look at me. Even these false prophets that you see on YouTube is flooded with them. We was looking at one today. Flooded with him, that he, say his name, I ain't going to call his name, but he do things to women that is not of God. And do you know women go to this guy? We better be careful, saints, because there's a lot of deception going on in the church. See, judgment begins at the house of God first. Now, I was telling my bishop, I said, when you start seeing these big time, and God gave me a dream, and I'm going to share it with you. But it was about three years ago, maybe before COVID hit. And in the dream, I saw this big old mega church. It was a huge church. And it looked like far off in the distance, I could see where it once was a great edifice. And so in the dream, I was grieved in my spirit. I said, because this once great edifice, this church, it collapsed. Why did it collapse? It could have been natural disaster, but the grief that I had in my heart, it was because they was teaching people astray, leading them astray, and when the people's eyes began to open, they left that church, and they couldn't maintain that church. So they just collapsed the church. This is why I say if you're going to a church, you better make sure you're rooted and grounded in God. And if you don't have a pastor that loves the sheep, God asked Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He asked him three times. He said, feed my sheep. A good pastor is going to feed the sheep. He's not going to fleece the flock. He's going to feed the flock. So let me get on. So we know Jezebel, the destruction of Jezebel. We know what happened with her and her husband and her children. This is why we have to be careful allowing this spirit to come in. Yes, Jezebel, she has influence in the world. She seeks high positions. She loves to be seen. Amen? So I want to, and then the result of Jezebel and Ahab, we know her downfall. We, as mothers, we have to be careful because if you operate in a Jezebel, let me show you some of the characteristics. This is a Jezebel rebellion or a relationship. We set wrong patterns for our children to follow. The children spend the rest of their lives, adult lives, trying to live normal lives because there's so much control. They can't even think for themselves. Come on now. This is women and men. When you start controlling your family, there is results. Ahab was a weak man because he allowed Jezebel to seduce the man of God. He knew they was men of God. These weak-bellied men that won't stand up for the truth, God going to hold you accountable. Amen? Husbands are wrongly influenced by their wives. Not to do good, but to pull them away from the things of God. Husbands let the wives do their jobs. That's what you see in the church now, where the wife is getting up going to church, but the men laying up there on the couch looking at some kind of program or basketball or something. You need to get your behind up and go to church with your family. Get out that Ahab spirit. Ahab men are weak spiritually and may be evil. They don't love God. That's what evil means. They don't have a heart after God. And they'll get mad because you want to follow after God. That's that controlling spirit. Ahab men turn away from their families and God to achieve satisfaction in other things such as women. It could be wine. It could be money. Anything other than God and family. And you see a lot of it nowadays. This is all they talk about, how to get rich quick. And it's in the church. This is what I'm telling you. It's not something that you just see maybe in the world. This stuff has crept into the church. All they talk about, motivational speakers, how to be better, how to be a better you, how to live your best days now. They turned you away from God. These are false fables. Turn you away from God where you're seeking the things of the world and you're not seeking the things of God. Let me go on. Jezebel, Ahab, they what they have the effects on the children. Because of how she turned from God, she got her whole family destroyed. See, this spirit, if it creeps in your church, your whole church. Listen to what I'm saying. That's why when God showed me that dream, they have allowed Jezebel to come up in there. They'll invite Jezebel to sing. Mm-hmm. No, they ain't living with nothing. They'll have Jezebel up there as a motivational speaker. No, these people are practicing all kinds of satanic witchcraft. They will destroy your church. Just like Jezebel destroyed her home, you will allow that spirit to destroy your church. God is not playing. And God's going to take a lot of other ones down. Because judgment is beginning in the house of the Lord. Amen? It should be a place in your life where you don't have to depend on secular people to provide you what you need in the kingdom. Now, we work natural jobs and stuff, but if it's going to get me to compromise, that's that compromising spirit in the church. You will have a secular artist to come up in there and sing. No, they ain't living a good dog's life. They putting that spirit over your church. So seduction, lust, fornication, all these spirits is going out over the body of Christ. and you only thinking about money, you're not thinking about what is going to do and destroy your church. Amen? See, Jezebel, they worship an idol, a demon worshiper. That's why God said you can't even eat from the same table. How would you allow a secular person, even some of these politicians is secular. I wouldn't even invite them to my church. Because if they ain't saved, they don't need to be coming in my church. Amen. A lot of them is into things that is God say he is unthinkable, some of the stuff they do. So Jezebel and Ahab, Omri was an idol. He was a demon. And Ahab's father, Omri, did worse than all the kings before him. He set the pattern for his son to follow. This is why we talked a few weeks ago about how dads can open up that family to all kinds of things that other than God. Sins of the father. He set the pattern for his son to follow, and Ahab did evil, when God say evil, in the sight of the Lord, above all that were before him. Amen? He married this lady Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidians, who worshipped Baal. Just like she was in Baal worship, Solomon followed the women that turned him from God. That's why I say that spirit will turn you away from God. It's very subtle. Mm-hmm. And let's not get it twisted. A lot of times it's not just through a woman, but me speaking as a woman, I know the devil can use a woman because she can seduce that man, just like Samson, Delilah, just like Eve. Okay, I know a lot of people don't want to talk about it, but she seduced Adam. He turned away from God to bite the fruit or whatever it was that she offered to him. God has strictly told him not to touch the tree. And he did it. And because of the disobedience, you see the fall of mankind today. Ahab, he married Jezebel. He was influenced spiritually by Jezebel. Okay, Baal or Baal, whichever one you want to say, was the male god, and Asherah was the female god. Mm-hmm. They were pagan worshipers. So if you have all these entertainers and everything in your church, and look.
And they're not saved.
Amen. And you know they're not saved. I mean, come on now. You see them on some of these movies or at some of these concerts, and the things they do is deplorable to God. Even some of the Christians are not going to some of these secular concerts.
Mm.
What are you doing? We should be unspotted from the world. We should be holy, set aside. Amen? So Ahab told Jezebel about Elijah's killing the prophets of Baal. See, Elijah was a man of God. He didn't compromise. This is what we need in today's society. You may not be popular as a pastor, as an evangelist, or whatever God called you to do, just as a lay member or somebody that's out there just on the street corner preaching the word of God. You ain't going to be popular, but you'll be popular with God.
That's true.
It doesn't matter if I don't have 500,000 views. Well, if I got to compromise the gospel, then so be it. I just won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If I got to compromise my life in Christ, I just will not have 500,000 views. Church, we need to stop all this compromising because we're opening the door to seducing spirits. He was dominated by his wife to do evil. He hated the truth and the prophets of God.
Mm.
This is why when Jezebel, that spirit comes up in the church, they hate holy men. They hate men that's going to confront the evil. And they attack viciously. They're even trump up a lie about you because they're trying to shut your mouth. Look at John the Baptist. When he went and told that king, God said it is not right for you to be sleeping with your brother's wife. Say she was vexed. sore. That man was out there day and night telling them. And you know what she said? Cut his head off. I bet he won't talk no more. I'm going to shut him up.
Yep.
But that weak king did what she told him to do. Cut that man of God's head off. The devil do not want you to tell the truth.
That's right.
You can lie. You can do all kinds of prosperity, lying messages. And then the people love you. He say they, Jeremiah say they lie to the people and they love it. Tell me how to get a quick fix. Mm-hmm. Tell me how to get rich quick. You see, this is what has crept in the church. Amen. So we know the downfall of Jezebel. She was destroyed. Her children was destroyed. Her husband was destroyed. Is this the price you want to pay to allow her to come up in your church? Your church will be destroyed. A lot of times your family will be destroyed. Come on. Yeah, I know sometimes y'all say, well, that's harsh. Nah, this is what we need in the church today. We need straight talk. You can't keep sugarcoating the gospel. Because like I said, for the last 40 years, we've seen how it crept in. It started with these prosperity preachers. Now that they don't got all the money, now they can say, oh, God changed my heart. No, your heart was greedy from the beginning. That's how that demon spirit crept in your heart. So I'm going to read some scriptures, and then I'll turn it over to Pastor. So God gave me these, and I wanted to go over them, because this is how God think about these greedy pastors and lying pastors. I'm coming out of 1 Thessalonians 4:6. He say, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warn you. God is saying, I told you, I warned you. You knew what you was doing. You knew you were seducing the people of God. He said, so I'm coming because I warned you and you didn't stop. It's a fearful thing to step into the hands of the Almighty God. Acts 20:30, he said, from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. That's a false doctrine. Anything turning you from the truth is false doctrine. I don't care if they give you 9 parts truth and 1 lie, is false doctrine.
That's true.
But the way people is being strayed away, they don't know the word. They don't know the word. So these slicksters are come dressed up. He called them wolves. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 21:6. This is in the Bible. Yeah, we're under grace, but everybody can't say, well, we're under grace, so God understands. No, God is coming hard on you because you're leading so many people astray. The accusation of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. He said a lying tongue. And who is the father of all lies?
It's Satan.
2 Corinthians 11:14. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. See, this is the Bible. He can come dressed up in a suited up from the flow up, but he's not coming to do you any good. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Come on, let's get out. We discern everything else, but we can't discern the spiritual. We can prejudge everybody else in the natural, but you can't. God says you got blinders on your eyes. These people can lie to you. They can fluff it up. They can lace it up. And all they got to do is put Jesus on the end, and you fall for it. A lot of these Hollywood actors, they'll say, oh, I'm a Christian. Watch the life. What about the fruit?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, by their fruit, you should know them. If a preacher, all he talk about is money, look, he displaying what he is. Isn't the kingdom of God more than just meat and drink? If all you can tell me is how to get prosperity, it's something wrong with that. You should be telling me how to save my soul from a burning hell, how I can live right. They don't even touch that subject. Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. I mean, how plain do it have to be, saints? All this garbage on YouTube, these false prophets, and they dress themselves up. You see them, they got the suits on and the pink suits and just fluffed up, and people is falling. I want a word. Why don't you get in your word? Why are you always looking for somebody to give you a word and you got the word?
Amen.
Matthew, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. God say they look like a sheep. They act like, you think they act like a sheep, but God is looking at the heart. He said they are out to destroy you. What do a wolf do to a sheep? He destroys them. 2 Timothy, and I think Bishop going to go on this, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. Mm-hmm. This is what I just told you. They're running from every ministry to get a word, to get a quick fix. It's like you're a drug addict. One ministry, if he ain't telling me how to get more money, I'm going to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no stability. You don't have no endurance. So God said when the trials and tribulations come, you're going to fall away because you have no root in the word. When you don't get that job that you asked God for, you're going to fall away. Because this preacher lied to you and told you you was going to have a big job, big house. Come on now. If God chooses to give it to you, praise God. But that's not why I worship God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not following God because of the loaves. What you going to do when they lie to you and tell you you're going to be healed and you still believing? God is a healer. But what, you going to fall away? Paul said neither famine nor persecution. Nothing will separate me from the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now I see prosperity has crept over in third world countries. These people, see, that shows you a wolf as a pastor, because a wolf don't care about you.
Mm-hmm.
He'll take your last. And these poor people barely can scrap two dimes together. And these greedy dogs, all they do is want to take from them. That's how you know you can judge a pastor by the love. He said, Peter, if you love me, Peter, you're going to feed my sheep. He said, a good shepherd will lay down his life. But you don't see these jokers doing it. Where was they at with COVID, these big mega pastors? Did you see them? Where were they? Why they ain't talking about the abortion issues? All these millions of babies getting slaughtered and murdered. Where are they? The people you put high on a pedestal, supposed to be representation of God. No, they representation of themselves. They're not spokespeople of God, because if they was, they would be just like John the Baptist. Although John the Baptist got his head cut off, he was still telling them, thus says the Lord, repent. Repent. You don't even hardly hear that in mega churches nowadays. He said, so Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:1-5, he says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. We see all this nowadays. Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossip, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, Do you not see that? And this was wrote over 2,000 years ago, and it's even worse now. He said in Ecclesiastes, if you see oppression of the poor and denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight, for the official watches over official, and there are higher officials over them all. Who is the higher official? God sees us all, and God's going to judge accordingly. Amen?
Amen.
So I wanted to sum it up, and then I'll turn it over. So we know how Judas was, you know, right there with Jesus. He was right up under Jesus. And some people say, well, Jesus knew who Judas was. Yeah, Jesus knew who he was. Jesus had to fulfill what God called him to do. But these are some of the characteristics of a Judas spirit. A Judas spirit, and I got this excerpt off of a little excerpt off the internet, but I thought it was good, so I wanted to share. A Judas spirit is a private sinner.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that Judas was with Jesus, Yahshua, he harbored sin in his life. That's how Jezebel do. She'll get right up under the pastor. They love to get under leadership. And it could be a man or woman. On the surface, he may look like a saint, wolf in sheep clothing, but in reality, he doesn't see the need to change his attitude.
Mm-hmm.
These are characteristics. So we're doing some self-checking today. Judas loved money. Judas was the treasurer of Jesus' group. He was a called thief. Later, his love for money was greater than his love for Christ, to the point that he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. That's a Judas spirit. You love money more than God. All you talk about is money. All you talk about is getting more money. You don't want to share nothing, and I'll get to that one. But you're selfish. You're greedy. So you go to churches, tickling ears, what I read over there in Timothy. They have tickling ears. That means tell me something good, how I'm going to be blessed. Don't tell me about my soul being lost. I don't want to hear that. I just want to hear how you're going to bless, how God going to bless me. Even the song, bless, bless, bless. We are blessed. But that shouldn't be the gist of our salvation. What's in it for me? Judas was a traitor. Judas was best known for his betrayal of Jesus. Judas harbored greed. This is what you see a lot going on in the church. And envy in his heart long enough for him to become a traitor of his master's love. They'll be right up in the membership, right, a Jezebel spirit, right up under you, worshiping in the choir, or one of your senior pastors or co-pastors, and they seduction. Their desire is to destroy. Judas, he had worldly sorrow after betraying Christ and realizing the magnitude of his sin, but Judas regretted his actions. But Judas didn't repent. You see what I said? Did you hear what I said? He regretted his actions, but he didn't repent. And this is how you know somebody can get up there and cry all day long, but until they truly repent, their actions don't change. You'll see a difference. So I don't care about no crocodile tears. You could cry all day long, but I'm looking at, did you really change? Did you really repent? Because Jesus would tell him, go and sin no more. You don't just wake up overnight and say, I think I'm going to defraud God's people.
Mm-hmm.
This is something was in your heart a long time. So God is revealing, he's exposing. A Judas spirit is selfish. Judas had the wrong motive and heart when answering Christ's calling. He could have answered God for joining Christ because it was a big church. I'm breaking it down. He thought Jesus was going to be reigning and ruling over this dominion, and he said, I want part of this. And a lot of times we go to big churches, you know they ain't teaching you nothing, but you got to have that status quo. So that's how they can have a lot of unsaved people up in there, jumping around, singing, bringing all these secular entertainers in, because they have a name and they're looking for fame. It could be that he wanted to take advantage of the growing influence, like I just said. So you looking at, if I join this church, I know he's shady, but maybe he could get my record out there, or maybe he could promote my book. But you ain't going there because you love God. You're going there because what he can do for you. That's a Jezebel spirit. So at that, I'm going to yield the floor to my husband, Bishop Bobby. Amen?
Amen. Amen. We want to thank the Lord for everything that the evangelist Montgomery was speaking on. And that's all a part of spiritual seduction. And spiritual seduction, a lot of people look at it only as sensual. But it goes into all those other things that were spoken of. I'm going to be brief, but I have some word and script I want to bring out to you, because we are truly living in the last days with the various things that's happening all over the world, all the shootings in this country, all the murders in this country, all the what they call it, white slavery or prostitution, all these ills that's going on in the country is strictly spiritual seduction. And many times I say before, men and women these days have no filters of their mind. They have no filters of their mind because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that we need to have the helmet of salvation, which is a part of the armor of God. So if you have no helmet of salvation, then you have no protection of the lies and seductions of the enemy. So you can just about do anything. A man or woman's will is only so strong, especially when it comes to things of the spirit. When you're talking about foul spirits, when you're talking about spirits of seduction and spirits of that nature, you're not going to hold up so long. But I want to get into the word a little bit. I don't like to just, speak off of my opinions, because my personal opinions mean very little. What means the most is the word of God. That's what means the most. That's what's going to get us into the kingdom. That's what's going to protect us from the onslaught of the enemy, is the word of God and the spirit of God that dwells within us, that leads us and guides us and protects us and gives us wisdom and what we should do in this life. But I want to go to you, 1 Timothy 4, and we're talking about spiritual seduction. So I want to bring out all the various scriptures that bring out this. 1 Timothy 4, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, the times that we're in now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. A lot of things are going forth today in the realm or kingdom or church or spirituality is straight up from seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Some of the things that's being spoken all over the internet, all over YouTube, on television, and some of it have even crept into various churches, are doctrines of devils. Now, you say, well, what is that? Well, a doctrine of a devil or a seducing spirit is a spirit that would say something that will cause you to fall away from God. All right? To weaken you in the things of God. That's what a seducing spirit, and that's what the doctrines of devils do. They pull you away from God. And that is what spiritual seduction is. All right? Something pulling you away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's not always sensual.
Yes.
It's not always sensual. It is anything. Mm-hmm. I'll say it again. It is anything that will pull you away from your relationship with Christ, with God, and the kingdom of God. It's anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not necessarily a man or a woman. It could be money. It could be job. It could be prestige. It could be anything. You see? But many times people only look at seduction as sensual or sexual. But it's not always like that. You can be seduced by alcohol. You can be seduced by drugs. You could be seduced by anything that's pulling you, Lord God, that's pulling you away from the things of God. It could be your own mental attitude.
Seduction. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be your attitude.
Amen.
You know, it could be how you treat people. It's a number of things, but that's why we're talking about spiritual seduction this way, because it's affecting God's people. And we're not, how you say, fighting against this thing as we should. And the only way you can fight against these things is by the Word of God and by the Holy Ghost. We need to stay and get in our Word. The Word of God is what's going to protect us and teach us and give us all the strategies of the enemy, tell us all about these different seducing spirits out there.
But you got to read it.
Yeah, that's going on out there, but you have to read it. Like John said, we have to try the spirit to see whether they are of God. And the only way you can do that is by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing about it, it says that speaking lies and hypocrisy have the conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, what that basically means is these people that's telling these lies and telling you, seducing you like that,
mm-hmm.
their mind is gone.
Yeah.
Did you hear?
Seared.
Having that conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, when you put a hot iron to something, it's going to destroy it. Yeah. It's going to burn it up.
So they don't have a conscience.
So if their conscience is seared, that means they have no conscience.
Yes.
So that means that they don't care about you. They're not concerned about how you feel or what is happening to you. They're almost like brute beasts. A wild animal don't have conscience. Lions, tigers, and bears, they don't have conscience.
Mm-hmm.
If you get out there and they're hungry, then you're a steak.
Yeah,
they will eat you up.
Yes.
They ain't going to say, well, I'm sorry that I'm eating this man or this mm-hmm. woman. I'm hungry. They don't have a conscience. It means nothing to them.
That's true.
All right? Now, we're talking about seduction. When people do these things, and they seduce you like that, they care nothing about you.
That's right.
So that means you have to stay away from them. Now, I'm going to go into some other words. And I'm going to go to Jude because I just like to just give you the word.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you the word. Now, in the book of Jude, this is a very short
mm-hmm.
chapter, but I'm going to just read to you with this here. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Jude says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Hmm.
For there are certain men crept in unawares
mm-hmm.
who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you notice something, Jews say these men were before of old ordained to what? Condemnation.
Yeah.
So these people, as Judas was, so these people who are going around seducing God's people are already condemned. They're already condemned. So we don't have to judge them. We don't. Only thing we have to do is live right. Get away from them. Live right. Read the scripture so we won't be seduced. Because remember, seduction, the kind of seduction that we're talking about, is that type that separates you from God. It's the same type of seduction that Satan used back in the garden with Eve. All right? And what happened? That led to the fall of man.
Yes.
It led to the fall of man. Now, it says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Mm-hmm. You see that seduction there again. And the angels who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Okay. Now, when you talk about that, now, Satan is a liar. He's a seducer. He's a deceiver. He's all the negatives you can think of. And he seduced the angels that were under him in heaven and deceived them. And they lost a great battle, and they're going to, and they haven't finished losing. I want to say this. Satan, although he's a seducer, he's a deceiver, he's also the greatest loser ever of the kingdom of God of the whole universe.
Yeah.
He's a loser. And if you follow him, guess what?
He's gonna be where you're
a loser too.
Yeah, you'll be where he's going to be.
Remember, that hell was designed and created and made for Satan and his angels.
Those who left their first estate.
Those who left their first estate, that's who the hell was created and made for. It wasn't made for human beings. It wasn't made for people. I want you to know that. And God doesn't put anybody there.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say something that might make some people mad. Well, how you get there? You get there by your own choice.
Mm-hmm.
You choose to go there.
Wow.
You put yourself there.
He said unbelief.
By your unbelief and by following and going the ways of the seducer.
Amen.
All right? Don't blame God. And furthermore, don't blame God for any of the evil that's going on in the earth, because that evil is not by God. It's by the seducer and the deceiver and by men's own choice. They choose to do wrong and they choose to follow Satan. And as a result of that, you have evil in the world. And when you choose to do things that's evil and your will is, oh, hallelujah, your will is turned toward evil, God, no, he's going to allow you to do it because he's not going to go against your will. He's not going to go against your choice. If you choose him, good. But if you choose something else, then that's what you receive.
You receive the benefit. Receive the benefit.
You reap what you sow.
Amen.
All right. Now, I'm going to go a little further, and then I'm going to end it in just a little bit. We like to leave a little time where people, if they desire to call in, they can. It said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. You see the seduction? You see the deception that's going on here? You see how Satan comes in and twists the word of God? How he twists, and I'm going to read something else here in just a minute, but it's all the word, so it's all good. How he comes in, and I would say this too, what the enemy desires and what he loves to do, he loves to try to make people disbelieve in him. What I mean by that, if he can make you believe that he don't exist, then he got you. If he can make you believe that you don't have to repent of anything, he's got you. If he can make you believe that there's no God, there's no spiritual realm, there's nothing out there then he's got you.
Amen.
If he can make you believe that you come through evolution and you come from the amoeba and that you were seeded by aliens and things like that, he has you.
Amen.
All right. Now, said, woe unto them, for they have gone into the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perish in the gain stand of Kor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to bring something out to you because it's the age that we live in. And for some reason in the country and the world, it's like this. Isaiah 5:20 reads, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, that's the King James Version, but God's Word Version says this, how horrible it would be for those who call evil good and good evil, who turn darkness into light and light into darkness, who turn what is bitter into something sweet and what is sweet into something bitter. The reason I said that is because that's where we are now.
Amen.
We're living in an age where you got men who don't know their men. You got women who don't know their women.
Mm-hmm.
You got people who don't know what a baby is. It's just a piece of flesh to some people.
And murder and kill it.
And that's right to them. That's good to them. And if anybody says anything against it, then you're wrong.
Amen.
You don't have the love of God. You're hateful. You're hateful.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I just wanted to bring it out because we're talking about spiritual seduction.
Right.
It's in the land.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the church. But it shouldn't be in the church because the Spirit of God should be there. We should have this type of discernment, whereas we don't tolerate that. But see, the only way we can deal with that is through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. And now, I say it this way. We're still somewhat in the in the aspect of spiritual warfare. And I would say this. I'm going to say this, and this is true. We are always at war and in war. Whether you're in Christ or out of Christ, you're still in a spiritual warfare. And one of the main tactics of the enemy is deception and seduction. That's one of the main tactics. Because if he can deal with your mind and seduce you and deceive you in something false, then you won't feel the need to repent. You won't feel the need to call on Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen?
So since we're talking about Ahab and Jezebel's spirits, these are just a few of the characteristics. And it's not to say verbatim is every one of them, but they operate in a lot of these type of spirits. So we know the spirit of Ahab, he was an idol worshiper. He compromised, amen. He murdered because he killed, what was his name?
Naboth,
because he wanted his vineyard. The man didn't want to sell him his vineyard. Kind of like eminent domain. He said, no, I don't want to sell it to you. And he go home, Ahab went home, pound to Jezebel, because he wanted it. See that greed? He was a spoiled brat, and she took it up on herself to go and kill Naboth. You see that overbearing? She did it. So he go and tell mama, and mama say, I got it. I take care of it. He was covetous. He was a murderer. I said that. He would call evil good and good evil. He was disobedient, overloading wife, drunkenness, rebellious children, fearful. These are just some of the characteristics. The spirit of Jezebel, she was an intimidator. She was bossy, brash, very jealous because she wanted the vineyard. She had all that land and stuff, and you wanted this man's little vineyard. You don't know what he was keeping it for. Like we said earlier, it could have been an inheritance for his family, but you wanted it. So you killed him to take it. Lawlessness, mistrust, nagging. These are characteristics. And we need to be careful. As women and men of God, we need to be very careful. I say, search my heart, Lord. Usurp authority over your husband. Well, if you don't need a man, you know what I mean? If you want to be the man, why do you need a man? Very sharp temper. You see, a lot of them will fly off at the drop of a dime, and you see it in the church. These are mean pastors. So they got to use intimidation and fear. They put fear out there to make you give them more money. They'll tell you you're going to hell if you're not giving the money to them. And I used to, even as a young saint, I would ask my husband, I said, no, you want nice things for your wife too. Why is the first lady and the pastor got to be puffed up and live high on the hog? They prostituting God's people. That's what they're doing. And because they take our love for God and use it to benefit and manipulate God's people. He said they're lawless. They're counterfeit spiritually. They act like they say. They act like they're Christians, but they are really counterfeiters. These are some of the signs. Female dominance. Got to control something. You see a lot of it in the church. They always got to be seen. Got to usurp over the husband. Look, God want us all in the kingdom. There is neither male nor female when it comes to the things of God. But you should have order in the church. You shouldn't let these people out the world come into your church and run your church. And I see it all the time. I see how these churches will take money under the table from big-time celebrities so they can get their vote. So they go to the big mega churches because those are votes. So you'll see politicians, they'll go to these big mega churches. It's manipulation. Look, we need to stand up. We need to stop letting anything and everything come up in the house of God. Because if we have dedicated it to God, how can you bring this unholy thing up and talk about they worshiping the Lord? That's abomination. Well, God loved the sinner. Well, does God love the sinner that's repenting? Because he just told y'all unbelievers they're going to have their part in the lake. He said, if you love me, you'll do the things that I say. Paraphrasing. Amen? These are things we need to get out of our heart. Search me, Lord. Do I operate in this kind of Jezebel spirit? Am I trying to usurp the authority of the husband that you gave me? Am I usurping authority over my children? Now, there is righteous authority that you have to use for your children. But if you are the kind of controller that when you come in the house, everybody quiet as a mouse. That's not the spirit of God. And I see a lot of churches like that. Or the man, I'm the man of God. You don't speak in love. You brash. You harsh. You don't know how to give love the right. Jesus was full of love. When did you try to take the place of God? And this is what we send, because I get infuriated with how this stuff has crept in the church. And because we don't, as bishops say, read the word, we fall for anything. Anything that's dressed up, say they of God, we fall for it. All this foolishness going on over the internet. I told him today, I said, I'm not going to even give them my click, because, you know, they get money off them clicks. So the most absurd it is, how foolish it is, when you click on it, you giving them credence. I said, he don't deserve my click. Because, see, if it's all about money, so they do all this foolishness, preachers, and, I mean, it was so out of the ordinary. I told him, when I looked at the picture, I said, I don't even see him. You know? Okay, so if you got something to say, we got about a few minutes. We're going to open the phone lines. You can call in. Our guest call-in number is 319-527-6058. Again, it's 319-527-6058. You can call in, give your comment or prayer if you need that as well.
All right. Amen. Now, we talked a lot about many subjects on tonight in reference to spiritual seduction and spiritual deception. So how do you deal with this? How do you handle this? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to get saved. Mm-hmm. You got to call on Jesus.
Right.
And I'm going to just tell you how to do it straight from the word. It's simple.
Amen.
It says, Romans 10, I'm starting the seventh verse. I'm going to go down through it. It's simple. Who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the start right there. That's the start. Believing that God hath raised Jesus up from the dead, and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You shall be saved. That's the start right there. Salvation in Christ Jesus is the start to be able to deal with these seducing spirits and deceptive spirits. Because, see, here it is. You can't fight in the spirit realm with natural means. You got to get in the spirit to fight in the spirit. And the only way you're going to get in the spirit is through Christ Jesus. And how do you do that? You do that by confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that calleth upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's what the enemy don't want you to do. He does not want you to call upon the Lord, because he don't want you to be saved. Because he know if you get saved, then you are under the umbrella of God, and he can't just touch you like that.
But you know, a lot of times, with what we send in the church, they'll just have a, you know, an altar prayer, which is good. But they'll say, repeat after me. But when you crying out to God from your heart, and I think some of this, they need to stop it. Let that person cry out to God the way of repentance.
Yes.
That preacher cannot repent for you.
That's right.
You have to, look, I have seen it so many times. Okay, well, they'll do a little dab, just repeat after me, and now you're saved. And you go out and you keep doing what you was doing. That's not true repentance.
Mm-mm.
Now, I know we err and we stray, but that your life should begin to that of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you say you confess with your heart You believe, you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, there will be some changes.
Amen. And repent.
But see, because of this seduction has crept in the church, they tell you, you okay.
Yeah.
You did that little sinner's prayer, but now you can go on back out there and you can whore and you can smoke your dope and you can live with women because you went through that prayer with that pastor.
Repentance.
Seduction.
Is
key. Seduction. Spiritual seduction.
Mm-hmm.
Search the scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life. It's time to start searching. Start putting these men up against what the world. He said, test the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Test it. See if they are of God. And if they're not of God, you don't have the right to sit up on them. You shouldn't be sitting up on
them. Leave them alone.
Because like Bishop said, they'll lead you astray. And before you know it, things have crept in your house. You've been sitting under a seducing spirit. So you can't see the things of God clearly. See, that seduction, it'll put blinders over your eyes.
Yes.
It'll have you seeking things of the world rather than seeking things of God. And I have to say this, because yes, God can bless you. But this should not be the foundation of why we are saved, because you're already blessed.
That's right.
You're blessed. Some of you got so much now you don't know what to do with it, but you don't let that spirit of greed come in you. And the more you get, the more you want. That's because the church has taught the spirit of seduction. We need to stop it. If God choose to bless you with a mansion, praise God, but that should not be the gist of your salvation. And we have a call.
Amen.
You're on the air, 1231. You're on the air.
Carla, we hear you.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing very well.
This is a great word. I'm listening to the word of Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm blessed. We are blessed to hear this sermon. Because
Amen.
It's full
Thank
of
you.
Life. It's full of meat. It's
Amen.
Full of
Thank
truth.
Praise Amen.
God. As I was listening, one thing that I got is that people are afraid to speak out and hold these people accountable. That's
yeah.
the biggest thing. Every time you just sit back and let these leaders do
yeah.
whatever they want to do, say what they want to say, and nobody is holding them accountable. Everybody say, don't speak on the man of God. You got church people that will fight you for speaking out against leaders that's doing stuff that's in error. They'll
that's
fight true. You. They'll argue you down. Don't talk about the pastor. The pastor is not God. The pastor is not Jesus Christ. So
we
have a right to, as the scriptures say, test that spirit. We got
yeah.
a right to approach that person, that human being, not a god, not idol, not somebody who's worshiped. We got a right as believers and Christians to approach that person and human and tell them, hey, man, you're in error. This ain't right.
Right.
This is not right. And anybody that here's the thing. This is what I thought. Anytime you're a believer or you're a Christian and you feel a certain kind of way for another believer correcting a leader or a pastor, that shows you that you place them on a pedestal and they're an idol to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Paul say, follow us as we follow Christ. And
yeah.
if you see something that is not, and you're, and I don't even believe in this membership stuff, signing some kind of roster to say you're a member. We should be followers of Jesus.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just another way they can use to usurp authority. Now, we should you know, call, I think that he said, call for the elders if there's one among you.
Mm-hmm.
You go before the pastor and or the elders.
In the presence of two,
in
or,
the
three
presence of two or three witnesses.
Yeah.
Now, if this man is contrary to the things of God, probably he ain't going to listen. I would say it would might be better if you just go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, as we said earlier, their conscience is so seared that it'll take an almighty God to reveal that to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to listen to you. Number one, they think they're above you,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
But before you let anything get in your heart, I would just say, it's time for me to go.
Yeah. That's it. That's all you can do.
Mm-hmm. Because if they have a seared conscience, they're not going to hear.
No.
You know, and that's why God say he's going to judge them.
Yeah. The only thing we can truthfully do in many situations like that is to continue to live right, continue to obey the Lord. And if it's a situation whereas, you know, you just can't handle it and it's something that's going
to
pull you away from the Lord,
yeah.
then you might want to just leave from there. You know, we would have to pray about it, study God's word. But God is like this. As Paul said, and the Lord, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So if something is separating us from the love of God, then we have to do like what Jesus says and cut it off. He
right.
said, if your eye offend you, pluck it out.
Right.
He said, if a member of your body is causing you to fall away from him, then you need to cut that thing off.
Right.
You know.
Well, these people, some of these people, they, when I thought about it, they'll protect man or celebrity more than they would take up and protect Jesus Christ. So,
well,
they could hear anybody saying whatever about Jesus. And just quiet and just
mm-hmm.
jelly back. But if you talk about they favorite actor or they favorite celebrity or they
yeah.
favorite pastor, oh, they got an issue with you.
Well,
but that's what I said. They were idol worshipers.
Yeah,
this is Ahab and Jezebel.
That's what we've been talking about. They have been spiritually seduced and spiritually deceived, and they believe that honoring a man over God is okay. But see, that's backwards, you see. That's deception. That's spiritual seduction, because when you do that, you're moving away from God.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving away from Jesus. You should, the way this thing should work, if somebody is talking about Jesus around you negatively and saying he don't exist and all this kind of foolishness, then you need to speak up and share with that person how God has moved in your life and how real he is. One thing I caught the other day, we was listening to some brothers. They were talking about all this witchcraft and seduction and deception and all
yeah.
this kind of stuff. And I heard the brother say something. He said, Jesus is real.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about that a minute. He said, Jesus is real. Israel.
Right.
Israel is supposed to be the standard of somebody that speak up for God.
Yeah.
God
real.
Is real.
Real.
Jesus is real.
Amen.
And God called his people Israel.
Israel. Yep.
Israel. He is real. God is real. Jesus Christ is real. The things of the kingdom of God is real.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we should do. That's how we should stand up. And the only way we're going to get Israel is through Christ Jesus. Because Jesus
telling
Christ
truth,
is real.
Speaking the truth, walking in the truth. And like you said, if they don't receive you, he said, shake the dust from your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Because in doing so, you bring in judgment up on that place. So if you go into you at somewhere and you go privately and speak to this person or whoever it is and they don't receive you, he said, shake the dust from your feet. That means leave that place. He said, because in doing so, you bring in judgment upon that that place.
God is you're releasing them to the for God to do His will,
His judgment
at that at that particular establishment, and that's
you
because
know.
You can't be a part of it.
Right. You don't want to be a part of it.
You can't be a part of it. When
you know,
like the scripture says, where there's confusion and envy and
strife,
there's confusion and every evil work.
You know.
You can't be in that.
And you don't want it to get in your heart.
No, you
so if you see things and it's not right, I would just say, look, we talked about it.
Yeah, forgive them.
I asked you about it, and I'm moving on. I'm shaking the dust.
Forgive them and go ahead on, and that's all
you
can
know,
do.
Because they have to give an account. All this false teaching, all lean doctrine is better than a millstone be hung about your neck and you was dropped in the deepest part of the sea. Now, I want you to picture this. You got cement blocks on you. They take you out in the middle of the sea and they drop you. You're going to sink straight to the bottom. He said, then to offend my least ones. Look at all the little souls that they don't lie to, and they offended these people. God say, I'm coming, and I'm going to judge them accordingly. It's not for us to judge them. God's going to deal with them.
And the wonderful thing about it, I was just thinking, Jesus dealt with the scribes and the Pharisees much harsher than he dealt with disciples and people that was following him.
Mm-hmm.
And if the shoe fits, you got to put it on. But we're speaking to those people who are into this spiritual seduction and deception.
They know who they are. They know who they are.
Because we got some good preachers out there. We got some good people that are speaking the word, and they're standing upright. And they're living right, and they're doing what they're supposed to do. And many times the people, the pastors and the preachers
they're
and those people
right,
who are really doing standing up for Jesus and preaching the truth, that most of the time they're the people with the little bit of churches.
Like we said earlier, they have itching ears, or they want the fame, they want the status. A lot of them go to these big mega churches because they want whatever they can get. I'm affiliated with this church. You might like the singing. You might like the choir. But if that man, I don't care what he look like, he can have an Armani suit on. If he ain't teaching the word, pulling you from truth. If he got all this secularism in the church, it's a seduction spirit that's pulling you from the true gospel.
That's true.
Jesus said, flee. That means run. Amen. So we got about 5 minutes, but we thank you for calling in, brother. And hey, just keep believing and standing up for righteous, because you got God say He told Elijah there are 7,000 that haven't fallen to Baal, and that was then, because Jezebel was after the man of God.
So,
I mean, when you start teaching against Jezebel, she comes out. Okay, she sought to kill him.
Yep.
Even the man of God kind of got some fear, like, oh, this woman is tough. She don't play. But that's why God told him, I still got people out there.
Yep.
Despite all this spiritual seduction in the church, there's still people out there that's holding up the true banner of Jesus Christ, who's teaching the unadulterated word.
That's true.
They haven't bowed to the system.
I want to say one last thing before I hang up this phone.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I want to say to all the believers, that we have to be reminded when the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yeah.
And everything else will be added.
That's right.
He said, seek first. The first thing we should be seeking as believers in Christ is His kingdom and His righteousness.
Amen.
Not the stuff, not the
right.
riches, not the things that please us.
Mm-hmm.
He says, seek first
the kingdom.
His kingdom and His
Amen.
Righteousness.
Amen. Well, thanks for calling, brother.
Thanks for calling.
And bless you. Amen. All right. Thank you. Amen. So, hey, it's been a good episode. We thank you for listening on tonight. And like I said, spread the word. You can share this podcast with anybody. You can share it. When we send you that, they can listen any time of the day. Share it. We are broadcasting. It goes all over the world. People from all over the world hear Kingdom of God Ministry. Mm-hmm. So just share it. And in the future, we're going to be working on getting a YouTube so you can see us on YouTube. And if there are some of you listening that is pretty much an expertise, that we need your help to help us get our YouTube going. We have a YouTube, but it's just not the way we want it to be. But with that, we're going to close out with prayer, and we'll see you in our next episode. Close us out.
Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those who are listening. And Father God, we ask that you bless and give them the revelation more
Amen.
Of your word in
yes.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Well, we'll see you next week. Be blessed. Bye.